Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you we can meet in your name once again, and we thank you for these Saturday mornings, Lord, where you're always faithfully meeting us. And you're here before we get here, and you're here after we leave. But help us to keep a heart open to you. You'll be with us this whole day, as you always are. But help us to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have a glorious psalm today. I don't think I've ever said that before, have I? Since last Saturday, anyway. But we have the glory and the universality of the Messiah's reign today. And you can get a little bit hung up if you want to start thinking about who wrote the psalm, and did Solomon write it, or did David write it, or did Solomon write it for David, and so forth. And I could care less, because the Holy Spirit is the author. And we do have kind of a thing that I never understood. In verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended, when we keep seeing Psalms of David throughout the rest of the Psalms. But this isn't the second book of the Psalms. I believe this refers to the second book of the Psalms. His prayers are ended. And actually, from him personally at this time, he was an old man, we believe. But nevertheless, what I really want to focus on, what I think we should focus on today, is on our Lord, because this is all about the son of David. Yes, there's the son of David who's Solomon in a smaller way, but this psalm basically is all written about the millennial reign, because it's about all the world, all the kings, all the nations, all of that, and that can only apply to our Messiah. So, with that in mind, I thought we would celebrate a little bit in the beginning by getting your heart in mind for the Messiah, and that's Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. So if we could sing that, and it's fairly long, but by that time we ought to really be ready. Ought to be ready to hear the psalm.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah
Yes, Lord, it is so good just to kind of sense what it's going to be like in the millennial reign. Glorified bodies with voices to praise you. So as we get a glimpse prophetically of that reign in this psalm, let us just thankfully receive and honor you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So my Bible entitles this, Glory and Universality of the Messiah's Reign, a Song of Solomon, and some translations have it a song for Solomon. And there's many who believe this was so near David's death that he would have been unable to write it, but he could have whispered it to Solomon, and Solomon wrote it. But it doesn't really matter. It's given to us in writing, and we can read it, right? Give the king, that's a small k now, your judgments, O God. And now pretty much everything after this is all capital letters. For your, and the King James, New King James has that capitalized, for your righteousness to the king's son, and the son is capitalized. So obviously Solomon is the son of David, but also greater than that is the Messiah who's the son of David. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. So just look at, in those first four verses, the aspects of righteousness and correctness. We have righteousness given to us a couple of times. We have judgment bringing peace. We have saving the children, breaking in pieces the oppressor, only that can refer to Jesus Christ. Of course, we read that in Psalm 2, don't we? Verse 5, they shall fear you, capital Y-O-U, they shall fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure. I can assure you that doesn't relate to Solomon, but it does relate to our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout all generations, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing. Just think of that. So clean and so beautiful. Like showers that water the earth. In his days, again, capital H's in these his's. In his days, the righteous shall flourish. A little different than today. Now, today, the righteous flourish spiritually, but they don't flourish in all areas of life with respect to being hated by the unrighteous. In his days, the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace. I like it. Abundance of peace until the moon is no more. So heaven and earth aren't going to pass away, but his righteousness and so forth will never pass away. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. So if you have any doubt where what this is, the ends of the earth, there's no king that's ever had dominion over all of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles refers to everybody across the water from Israel at those days, basically. Tarshish was probably Spain, Western Europe. But they will bring presents. The kings of Sheba, that would be Saudi Arabia, as we know it, and Seba, which means Northern Africa, I believe. But the kings will bring gifts. And then it says, yes, all kings shall fall down before him. So just think as you pray that model prayer, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is what we're talking about here, really. All nations shall serve him. He will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. Again, we have that repeated here. He had that in verse 4. Will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. That's precious today in his sight, but just think how lack of preciousness we have in our world. The shedding of the innocent blood of the unborn, for example, into the millions and millions. Verse 15, and he shall live. The gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. Think of the three ways of worship there: gifts, prayer, and praise. And we're just thinking about Thanksgiving and being thankful every day. Aren't you thankful that God allows us to give to him? Aren't you thankful that God allows you to pray? Aren't you thankful that you can praise his name? What if he told you no gifts, no prayer, no praise? You just concentrate on yourself. I don't think so. Oh, I don't think so, huh? Verse 16, there will be an abundance of grain in the earth on the top of the mountains. Now, that's kind of unusual. Who would put grain on top of the mountains? But in that day, I guess it'll be plentiful everywhere. On the top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. I just think how many sections of our large cities today around the world, really, but certainly in this country now, are becoming wastelands, right? And with the riots and all that stuff. And I hear parts, for example, of Minneapolis and all will never be rebuilt. They're just desolate. Parts of San Francisco and Portland, you name it, are devastated from the riots and so forth. Anyway, we have here the flourish like grass is be the description of the cities. That means there will be order there. It won't be chaos. It won't be rioting. It won't be all of that stuff. Verse 17, his name shall endure forever. And again, repeating, his name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. And then another, all nations shall call him blessed. Can you think of one nation today that's calling him blessed? I don't know who it would be. It might be, but I don't know of many or any. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Think of that. Who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole world be filled with his glory. That's coming. Isn't that amazing? The whole world be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And then a little doxology there, the prayers. Well, that was the doxology, but then the end, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And then my Bible next goes into book 3. And then we will have book 4. And there are not nearly as many psalms attributed to David in book 3 and 4, but there are some. Even way right at the very end of the Bible, there are psalms attributed to David. And so who the Spirit writes through is the Spirit's business. And we will just receive whoever wrote this or whatever it's for us. May we just have our hearts open to his greatness. And may we continue to pray fervently, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for giving us a glimpse of what it is going to be like when you take the throne, Lord Jesus. And help us to pray this morning in the way that we should pray. Here we are on the edge of the end of the church age, it would seem, and yet we are still on this side. We haven't been raptured yet. Those of us who are going to outlive the rapture, if that happens, haven't been taken out of here yet either. So here we are, an opportunity to pray to you. And we give you praise. We give you thanks. And now we want to pray. So lead us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. As we come to the end of the hour here, just wanted to close with a song that kind of emphasizes where we've been here with this psalm a little bit anyway. How lovely are the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness, our God reigns, our God reigns. So let's sing along with this song, if we may. Thank you.
lovely all on the mountains are the feet who brings good news. Good news. Announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Father, we thank you for the reminder again this morning that you reign. We thank you for the reminder of the glorious coming of peace when you come, and it will not happen until you come. We thank of the glorious news of the revival that would occur during that great tribulation when untold numbers of tribulation saints will come to you. And we thank you that you are in control in all things. So help us, Lord, to be responsive to you, Holy Spirit, as you prompt each of us to live the way that we should live as we watch and be ready for your return. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to just share a very familiar scripture. I've been over this many times in the past, but it came to me again this week. Simon Peter's restoration. Such a beautiful thing, wasn't it? But notice what happened. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked and where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Sounds good, doesn't it? Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter then listened to this. Seeing him, said, "What about this man?" Can you imagine going from the heights of being restored to right back down to the ugliness of flesh? Pointing to everybody else. What about this? So it reminds me again how I need to remember the Lord's answer. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Most of our prayers, most of my prayers are about the other guy. And yeah, Lord, can you see this governor? Can you see this? Can you see that? Can you see all the horrible things the unbelievers are doing? And I'm thinking, well, what do you expect an unbeliever to do? He's following Satan. He's not going to do anything good. But what about me? Is there any real difference in my life than an unbeliever's life? So he's got us here to be that witness. And sometimes I think we think that witness has to be out with placards and tracts, and those are all good. But that's not the witness I think he's asking for us generally. Can he be seen in my life? Can he be seen in my life enough that people would want to do whatever that has to be done to get what he sees in us and what he sees in you? So may that be visible in our lives today and every day. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we need reminding, and we go over this, seems like every week, but yet you are so faithful, and we keep crying out to you, Lord, do this, do that, and then we remember, you've already done it. You've already done it. Think of the cross. Where's the cross? And Peter, having been restored so beautifully, so powerfully, and yet right away sinks right to that spot. What about him? And so typical of me, Lord, and so typical of us. So help us, Lord. We really do need your help. But we do praise you this morning, and we thank you for this glimpse of the kingdom, and we just thank you for your awesomeness. And we could even cry out a hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And our God reigns, our God reigns. May we be encouraged by that truth. Nothing new, but may we be encouraged by it. In Jesus' name, amen.